Hello, everybody. How you doing? You doing good? Listen, got a little pre-show message for you. After the credits, we've got an announcement. We sit down with Rachel of Anahata's Purpose, and we talk about stuff. So give that a listen on at the end after the credits. It's a good, fun, crazy conversation, as is to be expected. But anyway, know that's coming after the... It's there waiting for you. So anyway, there you go. There you have it. On with the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I don't feel good.
I know. I know. I hate that for you, though. You are alive, though, which is good. It's no longer dicey.
Yeah. Yeah. We're no longer having the doctor called out with his little brown medical satchel every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
poking me,
yeah,
with random instruments.
Yeah.
Like,
checking your body, putting leeches on you. You know,
yeah,
all that,
yeah,
stuff.
And then, like, yeah, kind of shaking his head like, I don't know if she's going to make it.
I don't know. We'll just have to see if she makes it to the sun's light.
They've moved me into the room where you get, like, the breeze and the clean linens.
Nice. You know? Yeah, they know you're not a total cause of... You're totally not going to die for sure. So, like, maybe give you something, you know?
Yeah. The nurses have a little more care in their voice here.
Nice.
It's nice. It's a nice part of the hospital wing. All of that to say, sorry if there's some sick sounds. I'll try to not cough right directly into your ear holes, but it might happen.
It might.
And also, I believe that my topic is, first of all, you know when they're like, hey, write what you know? I really took that to heart this time.
That's okay.
And also, might just be a little short, on the short side, but... It's advice that I myself need right now, but you know what? You might need it one day, too.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about magically clearing a sick room.
Nice.
The benefits and practices of clearing a sick room.
Clearing a sick room. That's good. I kind of was thinking of, like, suckness today because of you know just mindy things you do when you're on the mend, and it's also just the season for this right now. I'm talking about blueberries today. Talk about blueberries.
If somebody showed up at my house with a blueberry cobbler, I wouldn't even question where it came from.
See, I'm glad that you mentioned blueberry cobbler, because I pose a question later on.
Okay.
That I am firm.
Severe feelings.
Yes.
I have severe feelings.
Me as well. Who goes first?
But you know what
today
is a bummer?
What?
Oh, I don't know. Let me check. And while I'm checking, I'm going to tell you what I think an absolute buzzkill bummer is. So I got my chicken noodle soup. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to get a little sweet treat because I deserve it. I've been sick. I'm going to get a cookie from this place also. So I got a cookie. And I had my meal the whole time I'm eating my chicken noodle. I'm like, oh, I can't wait for that cookie. That little sweet treat's going to be so good. Can't taste a thing. It was just a dry, crumbly disappointment.
That's sad. That just takes the moisture out of your mouth and gives you nothing in return.
Yeah. And I should have known, because I couldn't taste the chicken soup either. I can't smell. You know what? I'm thankful for that, because, you know, when you're sick for like a few days and you like maybe don't shower and like, you know, maybe don't be as clean as you should be. I'm like real grateful that I can't smell right now. But I should know it. I should have known it. So then I just angrily ate my cookie. It was my get well cookie. Anyway, before the spooky sewed, it was deer tongue and pothos. So I believe that puts you
going
first
today. Okay. I do, though. I was going to send you a big long voice text of this, but I figured I would just wait. I do want to tell you about my dream. before I scoot on. It won't take me very long because this is a short nightmare. And
tell me, ooh, a nightmare.
This was my Sasquatch dream that I very quickly messaged you about, but never elaborated.
Well, I also completely forgot because I feel like I saw it in like a sick haze and immediately went back to sleep and had weird dreams.
I assumed you did.
Weird medicated fever dreams.
This was nuts. And it's funny because when you tell it back, it's not scary. You know, like how a lot of what makes dreams scary is how you feel within the dream, even if it's inexplicable, you know, even if the shit that's going.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, one of the things that made this dream a little bit weird is that everything was right. You know what I mean? Like it was, I was outside of my house and I was standing with two people who I did not know. So these are dream strangers. There was a younger boy, maybe like a 12, 13 year old boy.
He's the boy that sits by your bed.
Maybe so. And we were sitting out, like, you know, where all the cars come in, like the sandy area where like you can park at my house, you know, like,
yes. And we were standing, triangulating your location right now.
Yes, yes. The very rare occurrence that is a dirt driveway. Yes. But like we were standing there at the base of it, and I looked off into what is like pasture land that is like in the depth of my property. So it's not like across, it's like attached. There's cows over there now. And I look out to where like those now exist, like within this hollow that we live in, and out in this clearing, probably 200 yards away, are three Sasquatch. It's a family of Sasquatch. And I fucking freak out. And that's about how far we are, 200 yards, you know, right in front of my porch, and they're off that away. And I basically, it's an immediate, get off the road! And so I tell the other two, like, get in the house now. Like, get out of the car. And so I tell them,
ow.
I tell them, we got to get in the house. And in the dream, luckily, I don't get, like, the noodle legs that often. I run a lot. A lot of my dreams are generally me escaping, which is just great for me. That's usually, so I'm running and I remember in the dream, in the span of time it took me to run across the decking to get inside, just thinking like they can move so many feet per stride. They can haul ass. All they've got to do is get to the edge of this porch and climb up. Like even that small distance, which like that in my waking mind is actually true. Like if we're talking like what it's alleged that they can do and travel, I was very right in my fear to want to get in the house as quick as possible. And so we run in the house, right? And I'm like, let's go to the bedroom because it's the less windows, it's less visible from like anywhere. So we go to the bedroom, right? And we go all get inside the bedroom. And the next thing I know, I hear them breaking the windows to like get into the room adjacent to the bedroom, like the bathroom, and they're breaking the glass and we're just like freaking out. And for some reason, this is where my brain kind of jumped the shark a little, you know, it kind of lost the plot. But like kind of hung on to. Some reason, when they busted the glass, it created like these tornado winds that were going on in the bathroom. All the while they were also trying to get into the bathroom. And so in this moment at the dream, there's these two strangers and we hear them breaking in to multiple windows of the house. They're coming in. It's creating tornado winds. And I just wake up and it's pitch black in the room. And I could not remember like what was real and what wasn't. And it was like, is the window broken? Like what was, it was so.
Are there Sasquatch families in my
bathroom? Dude, I was fucking on edge for like 40 minutes. I don't think I moved a muscle until like, it was like, I don't know why of all dreams, that was the one that like, when I woke up, it was like, I had the worst nightmare I had ever had.
What did they want from you?
I don't know, man. I didn't even ask.
Maybe they were just friendly. They just wanted to say hi. Oh.
I did not think so in the dream.
Tornado winds.
Yeah, that was a fun. That is what has made it the hardest to retell because I retold this to Hunter and I hit that part and I was like, and so then, like, I don't know why.
Your brain was like, man, we got to spice this up a little bit.
Yeah, we got to just throw something in here. But anyway, I just had to get that out because I don't know why that happened, but it's invading my dreams now. Let's talk about Blueberries. You talk about the Blueberry.
And you are cutting out in that way that you do that makes you turn into like a robot sound, a robot voice, and it like jams your words together a little bit. So you just, I assume you said, let's talk about blueberries. But what I heard was, let's talk boobies.
I mean, I could. But that should be a WABA topic.
Fine. Hey, boobies. Let's go.
Boobies and witchcraft. Boobies. They're there.
Yeah. All boobies. All boobies. If you're, all if you're boobies, a cat, you all got 8 to 10 of them.
You got, I mean, if you're a possum, you've got 13 and one right there in the middle.
Gross. Remember? All boobies all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't thought of anything else since.
So let's talk about the kind of the blueberry as we know it today. And so commercial blueberries, and that means ones that we recognize as blueberries we would buy. So we see it and we're like, that's a blueberry. That's what we're talking about today. But you got a couple varieties. You got different breeds going on for one, but you got varieties. You got the low bush and you got the high bush. Low bush, high bush, baby. And
whoa,
they are native to North America, or the low bush are, because the high bush are of a more cultivated variety. High bush varieties were introduced into Europe in the 1930s, but they did come out of North America. And I found, so one of my, I just got to say, one of my sources today was the High Bush Blueberry Council, which I just think is that, such an intense title.
My goodness.
Really cracked me up. Yeah. And anyway, I wanted to talk about the low bush, high bush thing, because that was the first thing I ran into with blueberries. And I was like, what is this? What is this? So low bush blueberries are wild blueberries. They are smaller. They are denser. They have a higher flesh to like filling ratio, you know, so they're not as big, they're not as fleshy, they've got more skin, right? And that means that they've got a more intense blueberry flavor. They're higher in more antioxidants that, you know, are via that blue in the skin. They'll bake better because there's less water in them, so they'll be less wet, but they'll have a good flavor, but they don't produce as much, you know. And generally, like a low bush blueberry might be like knee height or below, you know. And they're, these wild berries, they're native in the U.S., large, they're really prevalent in the northeastern U.S. and Canada. They grow wild and abundant. They like the cooler temperatures. There's just 5 species of wild blueberry in Canada alone. So blueberries have quite a history of being utilized for their many purposes. So in Canada, there were several First Nations communities in Ontario or in and around that are involved in harvesting wild blueberries, as they have been doing for millennia. And Native Americans did so here in the States as well. It was a very abundant natural food source, could be used for a lot of different things. So like, not only was it highly nutritious, it preserved really well, which was very useful. It made a really good dye, you know, an ink stain, which was also very useful. It was added to foods in many ways, including meats and breads, and blueberries would even be just mixed with water. You know, I don't know if they were like mulled or not, but just like mixed with water and drank, which was a really healthful tonic, especially during the winter months. And this was shared to the colonists by the Native Americans, and it saved their asses, like, big time. Which was, of course, not repaid in any way, shape, or form. And these,
I mean, it was repaid, but like,
with death. Yeah, and thievery. And so large patches of wild berries were managed by Native peoples for generations. And they shared, like I mentioned, like they shared this knowledge with colonizers pretty quickly early on, and made a big difference in the wintertime. So there's a lot of vitamin C. There's a lot of really beneficial nutrients that are in blueberries that can really make a big difference. I mean, no, you might not have a whole huge, like, you're going to have to get some calories too, but that will make you just feel better, you know, your brain work a bit better. And nobody wants scurvy, period.
Nobody enjoys the scurv.
No, I don't think anyone has ever liked it.
You think anyone has ever gotten scurvy and been like, fuck yeah?
That would be like Bill Murray's character in Little Shop of Horrors. He would be really into getting scurvy.
I'm going to get a candy bar.
So, now, a note about the term wild here, and this is still true today, that you will see the term for commercial wild blueberries. Now, that doesn't equate necessarily to, like, organic, left alone, wild, dusty blueberries. They're still managed in these large swaths of berry fields called barrens. They weren't planted, but they're still being managed, right? And depending on the supplier, the management of pests are going to vary here. So just know that wild doesn't necessarily mean organic. And you know, when it comes to blueberries, it more means this is a wild low bush variety. This is one of those kinds of blueberries, a native strain that has not been cultivated and turned into a high bush variety. So it's just a distinction that I saw that I thought was worth making. And high bush blueberries are the result of hybridization, and these are some pretty big boys in just about every capacity. So the berries are bigger. These are the blueberries that you can see in the grocery store that are like bigger, like the size of your thumb. You know, they're like those really big blueberries.
The ones you look at and go like, is there something wrong with these?
Yeah, it's like, what good burger action happened to you to make you this big? And
whoa, it was a throwback. I wasn't ready for that.
The bushes are big, man. And so we have a lot of blueberries in Texas. Texas is kind of a berry state. You get a lot of berries here, blackberries, strawberries, and blueberries do really good here. And there's a number of blueberry farms all over the surrounding area. And they're mostly, or at least that I've seen, high bush varieties. And these dudes are big. I mean, they can be like 6 feet tall plus. And they're just real big, bushy guys. They produce more than the low bush wild varieties do. But that comes with the cultivation. They've literally been bred to be big berry bushes that make big berries, and they just are loaded down. But the thing is these berries do have a higher water content. The flesh to filling ratio is reduced, and that's where it's less flesh to more watery filling, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just different, right? And so you get more of a concentrated, compact blueberry with the low bush and more of a bigger, wetter, juicier blueberry, perhaps, gross, with the high bush. Flavor wise, this is true. I agree that I think low bush blueberries taste better. Like wild, smaller blueberries, I do think they taste better, but there is a more refreshing element to a high bush blueberry.
They scare me. I'll just eat a grape.
Well, they're not all that big. There's some
they're as big as cantaloupes.
Yeah, no, some of them, it's like the strawberries now too. Like strawberries just keep getting bigger. They're like baseball sized now. I don't know what's happening.
I think, what if we're just shrinking?
Maybe we are. We're just all just,
no one's telling you,
withering away. Yeah. So in North America, the most common cultivated species is corymbosum, is like the Latin.
Cory B?
Yes. B. Cory B, actually. And it's the northern high bush blueberry, and hybrids of this, and so vaccinium is like the first word, and then corymbosum is the second word. So there's others in the vaccinium. I know, that's a new one. That have been cultivated and hybridized that are more cool with like the south weather temper, the heat that we have down here. So you have your southern high bush blueberry varieties now. I don't know why this happened. This when I was researching this, I was typing in and searching things. I was going to say, when was the first like blueberry cultivated, right? This is what I typed into the search bar. And I had, when did the first blueberry typed in? And you know what the first suggestion was after that?
No, what?
When did blueberry Faygo come out? And in case you want to know, 2019 is when Blueberry Faygo came out.
Thank God. I've been sitting here wringing my hands wondering.
Dude.
Faygo.
Faygo. Have you
Huh.
Faygo, man.
Have you had Faygo?
I would just...
I don't think that I've had Faygo.
I've had a couple of bottles of Faygo. I never saw Faygo before. It never registered it. It was a lot more popular in Arkansas when I went to college. And so I guess I got it a couple of times. It was the sweetest, most syrupy, sappiest soda to date that I've ever had. Very sweet, but effective if you want to spray it all over each other and get real sticky at an ICP show.
Oh, God.
But the question was, what was the first Highbush blueberry? Like, who did this? What is this story? When were these hybridized and when did we get the Highbush over the Lowbush? And it's actually kind of an interesting story. So we're going to Whitesbog, New Jersey.
Whoa.
And
we've been to New Jersey.
And we have been to New Jersey. We know all about New Jersey. We're basically locals at this point. Oh, God. And so in 1871, Elizabeth Coleman White was born. And she spent her childhood summers and on up into adulthood helping out on the family cranberry farm up in the Pine Barrens, which we also went to. And on this cranberry farm, sprinkled just here and there, there were wild blueberry bushes, and because they are native up there. They like growing up there. And Elizabeth was always thinking, like, man, why don't we do these? You know, like, why don't we grow these and cultivate these guys? Like, they're delicious. Elizabeth, why don't we do something with these?
You're right.
And it was generally like, kind of like, it's just not done. You know, like, there's too much variation in size and output. Like, they're just not really commercially viable. And Elizabeth Coleman White was like, well, that's fucking stupid. I'm not going to leave all this money on the table, damn it. And she knew that on this cranberry bog, they could grow these blueberries in the summertime and it wouldn't even compete with the harvest in the fall. So they could get like double berry action going on. And it's like one's on the dry land, one's in the bogs. It doesn't even hurt anything. You know, you just grow two crops instead of one. Yeah. She's like, let's do this, guys. What are we even doing here? And during the summers that she wasn't working in the bogs, she continued her education. And so she went and took like first aid classes, photography, dressmaking. Again, this was like early 1900s. So you could do what you could do. But she did go to the Drexel Institute of Art, Science and Industry. It's now Drexel University. And as she grew up, she belonged to a few organizations, and she was the first woman to be a member of the American Cranberry Association and the first woman to receive a citation from the New Jersey Department of Agriculture. So she was recognized. How did she do this? Well,
a citation?
I think in a good way.
Okay.
Like, she was cited. Her work was cited. She was served. No, they cited her as like a source, I think, is what that means. And one day, so she came across a publication written by United States Department of Agriculture botanist Frederick Koval, and it was titled Experiments in Blueberry Culture. And Koval was kind of persuaded to help Elizabeth White, or Coleman White, after she was like, listen, come use the farm. Come test your shit. Come practice over here on the farm for free. I don't care. Come test your theories, but come on out here and let's figure this shit out, my guy. Like, let's do this.
Okay. All right.
And he did. Frederick Colville came out to the farm or to the bog, cranberry place that she lived
at.
Did
they get married?
Family farm. They didn't. But they seemed to work very well together. And so Elizabeth was in charge of finding a good place to do this, the land, and then finding wild blueberry varieties that would be good to cultivate, while Koval provided the scientific plant knowledge of how to do this, how to hybridize, you know, really how this was going to be done genetically. And there were a lot of factors that were gone into selecting which wild berries to cultivate. You know, like they wanted the best taste and the best color, you know, really good shape and size of these berries. And how long it took them to ripen. Did they ripen really quickly and like produce a whole bunch, you know? And so Elizabeth hired a whole bunch of local, it said woodsmen. I don't really know what that means.
Wow.
Basically, she hired them to go find out really good looking blueberry bushes, wild bushes that fit this checklist that we're working on here. And she paid them $1 to $3 for every bush they found with berries that at least measured 5/8 of an inch. So they were looking for berry size there. And the bushes were like tagged.
What year was this?
This was, so by the time this was going on, this would have been going on in the earlier 1900s. I don't exactly have this date going on, but this is probably going, because I know that the hybridized bush was exported to England by 1930. So this was still when it was being developed.
So $1 to $3 is actually viable.
It seems like a decent pay. Yeah, because I mean, we're talking, this is maybe like 1910.
You tell me like today, you're going to be $1 to $3 to do anything and I'll shoot you.
So she was born in 1871. So if this is 1900, she would have been 29 or 30. So this very well is probably early 1900, you know, is when this is going on. So yeah, they're finding all these, they find 120 good bushes, right?
Wow.
And it turns out that really only two truly met White and Koval's standards of what they thought it was going to take. But from these two, they grew thousands and thousands of hybrid bushes, which
Adam
they continued.
Bush.
Really, for real. Which they selectively continued to kind of pair and add and change, you know, with the whole, all of hybridization. It's a very complicated process to produce the modern cultivated blueberries that we see today. Oh, so here we go. I had it and I didn't even know it. In 1916, White and Koval cultivated the very first blueberry crop. And she had a feel for branding.
1916. I'm going to look this up. Keep going.
Well, I'll tell you what it was called. So it actually, I have the brand name for you. So it seems Elizabeth understood a thing or two about branding. So they were called True Blue Blueberries, TRUBLU berries. And Elizabeth also got an idea to package them in cellophane because that was what they were packaging candy with. And so it just seemed like a cute little thing. And it seems like she got the idea to package them as like cellophane and to make them look like cute and whatnot. And it fucking went gangbusters. They made tons and tons and tons of money. And this grew to eventually become the $1 billion blueberry or high dollar or high bush industry that there is today. So just very interesting story that I didn't expect to come across. But there you go. Now, it does seem that there was some.
I popped off an inflation calculator really quick. And in 1916, $2, I just kind of went in the middle. $2 was $55 in today's money.
If somebody paid me $50 a bush that I found in the woods,
I'd go find some.
Hell yeah. I'll do that. So there was, just because of like the world that we live in today, I was like, I am going to look her up though, just to make sure that she's not the devil incarnate, you know? It seems that there was a demerit against her, but it later seemingly was resolved. So there was the NC.
Blueberries or not?
No, I don't think so. So the NCLC, the National Child Labor Committee, kind of went after her a little bit with a scandal, basically saying, listen, we know that there's young teenagers like 14, you know, underage, you know, working these bogs like long days. And basically the way it would work is that their parents would sign them up. And we got to remember here that this is in the 1930s probably at this point.
Sure.
Like kids during harvest time missed school to go work the fields to make money for the family, you know?
Yeah,
and so it's like that
have a baby in the bog.
Yes. That was like the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. To like have more kids to help make, you know, like either help around the farm or like to go help the family with means of income. Mm-hmm. And so basically she did speak out against this and was like, Yeah, they are missing school for harvest season, and we do what we can for that. But like, that's also every industry, every everything agricultural industry going on right now. That's a broken system, you know. And like, apparently, she would help people try to like sort out babysitters and like try to at least like accommodate. But later on, 4 years after this, this kind of went on until the NCLC, the National Child Labor Committee, actually retracted their accusation in the Trenton Times and acknowledged her efforts as a peacemaker. So it seems like it all was okay. Anyway.
Okay.
That's the story of blueberries.
She paid somebody off.
That was my first thought. I was like, but like, did she just like buy off like the editor of the publication or like the whatever, you know?
Scandal and Big Blueberry.
So let's talk about the metaphysical here. And let's talk about blueberry pie, which you may have heard before. I know that you and I both learned this, Charlie, at the same time from Jordan Moon of Moonlight's Apothecary.
We sure did. It's immediately where my brain went.
It was something my brain locked onto to the moment I heard it. And that a blueberry pie is an excellent spell to do for psychic protection. If you are under like a psychic or energetic attack, make a blueberry pie. And I just really loved that idea. It's something my brain logged that away just for future reference always. And it was nice to see in my research that, yeah, that is very prevalent. And interestingly, I can't find where it came from. I looked and looked to see if I could try to find a source for where that came from, but it just seems to just get passed around. Like, that's just kind of witch to witch. Like, it exists
that
as a thing that you do. Yeah. And I do find that interesting. And, but yeah, that berry pie, which all I can hear is Dolly's voice anytime I am thinking or talking about it. But like this sweet blueberry pie is this powerhouse, like kick the door in staple for psychic protection. And I just think that's amazing. You just bake you a blueberry pie, you slurp it down and like, you're good to go, bro. And I just think that is amazing, because it's sweet. It's blueberry pie.
Serve it with some ice cream to cut the Swedish. Oh my,
get you some bluebell vanilla bean on there.
Oh, ooh. Fuck off.
I know. So, blueberries.
I wish I could taste things.
That's not even worth it. Like, if I sat down, like, a warm, hot blueberry pie with like some ice cream on top melting and you couldn't taste it, I would feel like the bad guy in that situation. Like, that's just gotta wait until the time's right.
I would still pick it up and I would squirt it like a tube of toothpaste into my throat. I mean,
you can't fight instinct. That's just the only way to go about it. And so blueberries are big time protective energy. And this can be employed in a lot of different ways depending on how you want to do it. Dried or fresh mulled blueberries could be added to a tea or drinkable potion. Cocktail, even. Do whatever you want. Dude, mulled things are delicious. Mull it all and give it to me. I love it.
So you can utilize it
that way. Oh, smash it. This is a protection spell, you know, like you can, maybe this is a protection spell that you are, you know, it's something you drink, you know, or metaphysical protection, psychic protection. If you don't want to do the full blueberry pie route, you're still ingesting these blueberries and you're crafting them, you're mixing them and taking them in. And they're very calm and they're very, you know, this is healing energy that comes with the blueberries. They're very soothing in color, you know, and they just have that kind of energy going with them while being protective in nature. And the blueberry can be a good addition in a get well kind of spell too. You know, they have that that vitamin C included in them. They have a lot of antioxidants in them. They have a lot of water in them. They're just a good, they have, you know, the sugar as well. Like, it's just a very healthful little compact piece of nature that has a lot to offer. And maybe it's a little magical elixir. Maybe you have some like mint leaves mulled with some like some fresh blueberries in there and like a little lemon juice, maybe just to like give it a little bit of a kick. And, you know, just whatever else that you want, maybe some like fresh good honey. Yeah. Put a toddy, put some like, you know, whatever, make a tonic with it. And it's just a good reminder that oftentimes the mundane, because everybody's like, blueberries are so healthy. You know, it's like oftentimes the mundane mirrors the metaphysical as well. Mm. Like, physical health is probably going to translate. It's something will be spiritually healthy for you too. It will be good for your protection of your aura, your spiritual, your subtle body. It's good for the physical body, good for the subtle body. You got both. And blueberries can be used in beauty magic or glamour magic. We can think about there's a history of berries being used as like a dye that could be used to, you know, make, you know, to tint the lips a little bit or dilute a bit and add color to the cheeks. Now, this is not to say that you need to use blueberry juice for makeup, but there's a history of this essence being used to beautify. And within there, there's this ability to glamorize and a touch of beauty that can be grown from this small thing. And I feel like that can make it a really good addition for glamour magic. Maybe you're incorporating blueberries, whether they're just physical, you know, they're just there on the altar as like a representation, or maybe you're doing a glamour spell and you're consuming the blueberries, you know, which like a lot of my spells here are in eating the blueberry, because you can do so many. You can bake it in a bread, you can put it in a dish, you can put it in savory dishes, you can just eat blueberries as they are, mull it up, put it in a drink, dry it, put it in a tea. Like, you can do so many things with it. And gosh,
remember
my allergies
when that
are
bitch
so bad.
Violet turned into a big fuck off blueberry?
I do. And then they had to go squeeze her, and I'm always like, where does the juice come out?
You know where it comes out.
I do. But I wish I didn't. And they didn't even have to specify, because they knew that all of us or a bunch of children are going to be like, we know where it comes out. Yeah.
Which so, just fucking surprises everybody. And it's just like all of your pores.
Well, that would make like an orange. Yeah. You just like, it just comes out like a zest. Ugh. Gross. So blueberries thrive in acidic soil. That's like one of the big things that is like about cultivating blueberries. They like it acidic, and they themselves are quite acidic, even though it seems like they might not be. It seems like they might be more alkaline because they're so soothing and they're blue and they're just sweet blueberries, but they're actually pretty damn acidic as fruits go. And I feel like I like the meaning. I feel like I like the, what comes from this, like the sweet little calming blueberries. They thrive in an acidic environment. And from the environment that they come from, they produce something really special. And this little sweet, healthful berry, it carries a little bit of this acid with it. You know, it carries those.
It's like, fuck that, with me.
Yeah. And I really like it. It's a berry that makes its own way, you know? And something about that it came from such an acid, like it likes that acidic soil, but it grows something that you would think, like, really, until I did this research, I figured that blueberries would be alkaline because they're so soothing in nature. You always hear about soothing inflammation with blueberries, and they're very calming and soothing. And you know, there's some diets or some health conditions that you kind of want to cut the acid, you know, like for my interstitial cystitis, like when I'm having a flare up, I'm dialing acid back. And I never really thought that blueberries were super acidic, but they are. So that was just kind of an interesting thing there, but it comes from that. I guess it comes from the acidic soil. I don't know. But blueberry leaves can also be used in spell work for, you know, however you want to use them, maybe different application. You're not going to be chewing a bunch of blueberry leaves, but maybe you want to use them as a strewing herb or put them in a honey jar. So if you don't want to like have moldy blueberries in your honey jar, but you want that essence, put the dried leaves in there. Yeah. And something like that. It's a good way to utilize the energy of the blueberry if you don't like blueberries, or maybe you're allergic to the fruit. Maybe that means you're allergic to the leaves too. I don't know about that. You should, though. I feel like if you're allergic, you should know that. I'm not an allergist. You can crush blueberries to make a very simple magical ink, using the dye to create sigils, having this protective energy into the ink that you were writing with, or however you would want to use a natural magical ink. Again, you can dye things with blueberries. There's a lot of ties to blueberries and the moon magic, including blueberries to help strengthen and protect your aura on full moon nights when things get a little weird. So if you're somebody who gets a little restless,
mash up.
Yeah.
You smash up blueberries, all I was going to say.
Yeah, no, for real. Like, you could do, like, that's what I love about blueberries, because you can really, like, you can really run the gamut here of, like, laziness or not laziness. So, like, I mean, you can make you a little blueberry treat You know, you can make you a little blueberry muffin, or maybe like a tart or something going on. Or you could do what I do, which is sometimes just lazily microwaving some like frozen blueberries until they're still cold. They're not warm yet because I don't want them to be like warm, but they're not frozen anymore, and just eat them with a spoon. You got all levels of difficulty here. That's the baseline. You got options.
It's like that scene in Lord of the Rings. You could do the full last potato stew in the Ithilien fields, or you could just bite into a raw rabbit.
See, I mean, sometimes you just got to do what you got to do. Remember when I marked you after doing that and my teeth were just disgusting? Do you remember that? And they were stained so bad.
Vaguely, yeah. And I remember it being horrifying.
It was really bad. Yeah, it was really bad. Spooky. Blueberries will really fucking stain your teeth. So you can place dried blueberries and protection sachets. You can place those wherever. You can place a protection sachet under your doormat or near the door, under your beds, in center consoles of cars or on the rearview mirror. Wherever you feel that you want one, you can stick one. Protection sachets are good like that. And you can see the blueberry is pretty versatile here. You've got a lot of ways you can use it in edible spells. And sometimes I think that's cool. We don't always do, like, it's easy to do a candle spell and whatnot. I think it becomes natural and normal, but we don't always think about eating our magic. And I know that gets into kitchen witchery, but like, it's something that I almost feel like it's a metaphysical thing that is made to be eaten. And I feel like you get the strengthening, like auric strengthening benefits from like consuming it. And it fixes you from the inside out. And I just think it's cool to make
blueberry and steal its power.
Yeah, edible and drinkable magic, you know, and that's just really cool sometimes to infuse your physical person with it. You know, you can do all kinds of things with it. And I really just wanted to end on my note that cobbler is better than pie in any situation involving fruit.
110%. Berries, fruit, any, you put that cobbler on a pedestal, baby.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm doing this, I'm making a blueberry cobbler. I'm not going to make a blueberry cobbler pie. I'm making a blueberry cobbler. Yeah.
Ah, fuck, dude. Yeah. You listen here. If you choose the slice of blueberry pie over the slice of blueberry cobbler,
you mean the ladle of blueberry cobbler, because that texture is it.
Yeah, the bowl. You're done.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's I've been hankering for cobbler. It's cobbler season. It's ramping up to be cobbler season, and I'm probably going to make one because it's also blueberry season. And here by about the end of this month, all the farms around here are going to be ready, and I'm going to go picking, and I want to make me a blueberry cobbler. And I just feel like it will strengthen my aura for the coming year.
So that's a good plan. Describe a cobbler to someone who A, may not know, or B, maybe from a place where they don't call it cobbler or they don't have cobbler.
So a cobbler is
your shoes. But a box.
Yes.
Okay.
You still attack. You still.
You're full of fucking deep cuts today, and I love
it. Nobody's going to know that one. Oh my God. And so anyway, I'm so glad. The moment that came out, I was like, if this doesn't land, I'm going to feel so weird. Okay, you've got the same basic components going on here. You've still got like a batter that will be turned into a crust like thing, but not really. But you've got your flour base, you've got your shit like that, you've got your fruit, you've got your sugar, and you've got your butter and all that. But the way that a cobbler works versus a pie, so instead of a pie, you have your pie crust and you put your filling in it and you put a topping on it if you want, you know, and then you bake that. Cobbler, you get your filling already, right? And it's sloppy and it's wet. It's got sugar in it and butter in it and all kinds of delicious shit. You just have your filling. And then you mix your batter up. And the beauty of this is it's batter. It's wet. It is. Mm. And so then you basically pour the batter just over your filling and bake it. And it just
extra
gets
points
happy
if you
together.
Do it in a fucking skillet.
I have a little dish that I'm partial to. It's got a little lid because I like to have a little lid.
Oh. Is it the heart dish that you put
it's the heart dish. It's the vintage Cuisinart heart dish. I love it
I love that.
So much.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the difference. And I really, they're not comparable. Like they're like a blackberry cobbler. A blackberry cobbler is to me, that is like one, it is like a very, and not exclusively, but it makes me think of Texas. Like it's a very Texan dessert because blackberries are just everywhere here, all over the state.
Yeah.
But like, it tastes like summer. It tastes like, it tastes like summer to me. Cobbler, especially yeah. peach and blackberry, like your mom makes, like it tastes like summertime.
Such a good fucking cobbler, dude. I don't even like peaches, bro. Anyway, yeah. can you cobblerize it? Like, can you do cherry cobbler?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can basically do anything. It's just the difference is it's not crust based. It's more just like it's like a casserole almost. Like you don't mix it all together. You just pour that batter like on top of it, and it's like where it lands.
There are some people who cheat at this, and I have seen some people put like biscuits on top, like, or they'll do drop biscuits on top. I gotta argue, I don't think that's the same thing. You gotta get it mixed in there. It's gotta be cake like almost.
But not cooked in the center. There's always that underdone kind of not quite done. And but that's crucial. If I got a cobbler and it was all cooked and all dry, that ain't right. There's gotta be those gummy pieces in the middle that are all soft.
Gummy.
Ah.
Yeah.
Fuck. We gotta move on.
Really want a cobbler right now.
I do too.
So
bad.
That's fun.
Damn it.
Okay. I want to talk to you guys about clearing out a sick room after you have been sick. Because I've been sick.
You have.
I was like, gee, I should really do like a big clearing spell. And I was kind of thinking, yeah, I need to refresh my memory on, you know, because I have the one that I have just always done, which is a spray with like the same five things that I always put in it. And I burn bay and I do some physical cleansing. And I'm like, you know what? I want to branch out. I want to see what else there is. So we're going to do this together. So Macy, why would you want to clear out a sick room?
Because that it seems obvious,
but I'll tell you, physical health. Okay, so clearing out a sick room physically involves removing, you know, the germs, the bacteria, the COVID viruses, and it, you know, you can also use this time to disinfect your surfaces, especially if you do not live alone. I live alone, so I'm kind of like, it's fine if I forget to, you know, do like this light switch or whatever. I'm not trying to not get anybody sick, but if you are living with somebody, you might want to run through it pretty good. Then there's the emotional well-being aspect. You ever just have to let your brain shit itself for a minute?
Yes.
Yeah. There's the aspect of emotional well-being as well. A clean and tidy environment can really change how we feel. We've talked a lot about how freshening a space up can totally switch things around. But it can also be especially impactful and positive to you when you are the sick person, because it kind of creates this sense of order and calmness, and it can help promote relaxation, which can all turn around and sort of pay you back in helping you heal quicker, because you know you've got that morale boost.
Yeah.
The energetic and spiritual cleaning side. I believe when you are sick that your defenses are low in a lot of ways. Obviously, your physical defenses, you know, but I believe that you are susceptible to things. And I think also when you're sick, you do spend a lot of time in the in-between. Being sick is an in-between state, you know, because your body is working very hard to heal itself. But you're also spending a lot of time asleep. Like, I've been asleep probably 80% of this last week, which is good. You know, I mean, that's a good thing. That's how you heal.
Yeah.
But you are, you're just open. You're open to things. And if things do happen, you're kind of weak of body and of mind. And you're just sort of like, eh, whatever. So it's a good time to get got, you know, energetically, if you're already sick.
Oh, yeah.
So to kind of come through and remove this built-up negative or even just stagnant energy, it can potentially affect you, your practice very positively. You know, you can perform a magical energetic cleansing to kind of move that through. You can do it with a special slant towards a healing environment, but also just kind of re-put your wards up, you know, if you've been too sick, your energy has been too sick to keep things up. And then also there's just the overall symbolic representation to show that you are having a fresh start. You're ready for that renewal. You're ready to commit to the other side of the sickness, living.
Yeah, which is, it's a big mental part of it, I feel like, is when you're just like, you know, like, especially when you're basically out of it and you're just kind of dealing with the coming back to life part to where you do just kind of, you're like, I've had enough. I've had enough.
Yeah.
I'm getting better.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It can definitely be a way of kind of mentally shifting towards your new, I guess, reality, because like with sickness for me comes in stages. Obviously you're like, oh, I'm getting sick. But then the active sick phase, the active acute sickness phase for me, it nothing except my body getting what it needs matters. Like everything has been on hold. Dishes have piled up, laundry's piled up, just what I needed. You know what I mean? And like, just that thing we were talking recently to someone about how, you know, it's a little gross. If you throw a tissue or a cough drop wrapper or something and it doesn't quite make it to the trash, it's, you know, like, yeah, whatever. Right.
Well, yeah. When you're literally at some points to where like the thought of just moving feels inconceivable.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
Exhausting.
It's just like, that's just the way it's got to be sometimes.
And it's just like, this is how until I feel better, until one day you wake up and you're like, you know what? I can't do a lot, but I can get these nasty tissues off the ground, probably.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the over the hump phase. And once you're there, you're kind of ready to clean up your physical space, but also just kind of your body. And then after I'm sick, I always feel a little bit like I want to be healthier, like in my diet and stuff too. Just, you know, just to like, Not like I get sick and then I'm immediately like, everything's changed for me. I'm just like, you know what? Let's be good to our body for a minute. Cause like, it worked real hard. Let's go outside.
Went through it.
Let's just breathe some fresh air for like 10 minutes and then come back in, you know, cause it's been locked down and everything's recycled air and it's just gross in the house, you know, open the windows and let it out. So, energetic cleansing. Let's talk about that. So the underlying principle here is that we want to carry the energy that has been built up in our space over time. Stagnant, negative, imbalanced energy, anything that's affecting, you know, the mood, other than just it being a gross and stagnant space and you being susceptible to things kind of maybe creeping in a little closer than you would like them to. There's also just the aura of like, I'm sick, I hate everything. You know, you're in a bad mood when you're sick, you know, and that can kind of help to churn, get up there. I always picture it like collecting in the corners of the room, like collecting up in the corners by the ceiling is where I think shit like that kind of like cobwebs almost starts to form. And I have some ways for you. Let's talk about energetic cleansing. What can you do? Here's some commonly used methods. We've got smoke cleansing, always a winner. You know, believed to kind of bust up. We've talked about how we view the smoke attacking that kind of general miasma and how it how we differently picture that happening. However, you know, you might not want to do this right now. I don't want to do smoke cleansing right now because I feel like I can just barely breathe, you know, without coughing. So, and my lungs hurt from coughing. I don't want a bunch of smoke in my house right now. So let's move to the second option here. You know what? You love it. Sound cleansing. Sound cleansing is a wonderful option. So you can use bells, chimes, singing bowls is great. Kim sent me a little video of some delicious singing bowl action. I also like big things like that, like big singing bowls, because the vibration, I just feel like that very much gets in there and shakes things out. We can do crystal cleansing, We can do visualization and intention. And hell, even if maybe you're not ready to get up and shake the bell around and do all the other things, maybe all you got is laying there and visualizing a cleansing of the space. You can do that and it will help to cleanse the room out. Mm-hmm. This is also going to just, like, aside from making you feel better energetically and emotionally, this is a great stress reliever, I think, because anytime you change the layout of a room outside of being sick, I think it's a very transformative new beginning and just kind of a shakeup of any kind of stress that's been building up in there anyway. So yeah, you're getting rid of all your sickness shit that you had, but like there was probably shit there before that could have used shaken up. So I like it. I don't know. I think it's a good shakedown to a positive mm-hmm. atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I think it's also a good time to work on spiritual connections if that's your thing, because you might need some help. You just might need some help at this time. I know that sometimes I am not feeling very well to make spells. And that's usually like more of a mental health kind of thing. But now, like you said, Mace, the idea sometimes of just getting up and moving from the bedroom to the kitchen. Like there was a couple of days ago, I swear there was one day that just getting up to go pee. And I pee a lot when I'm sick. Like just getting up to go pee was the worst thing in the whole world. So if you want to kind of clear out your area a little bit to bring in some spiritual connections, whoever that you've got working on your team might be a good idea. If you just need the help to get to the fucking bathroom, or to kind of help keep watch guard, perhaps, over, you know, the little baddies that are trying to get in that might find, you might want to make a nice environment for that spirit team to kind of come and hang out with you. I imagine that they would anyway. They probably would want to come and hang out with you while you're sick and maybe try to help ease things. But if you wanted to make it a nice space for them as you're getting better, I think that it might encourage them to stick around a little bit longer and keep that watchful eye out against the naughties trying to sneak into your clogged membranes and get into your little infected lungs. Clogged. You know what? I hate sinus stuff, like when you're sick, but I find it so interesting. And I'm sorry if this gets a little gross, I'll try not to be gross, but you know when you're sick and you get very stuffed, sometimes you're super stuffed up and then sometimes it's just free flowing. You know that thing where you like have one nostril completely clogged but the other one's fine, or maybe the other one's like running or whatever, and then you just change your sleeping position or your laying position and you can feel it. Like, you can feel it shifting in your head, and then suddenly it swaps positions. Like, that blocked one you can breathe out of, but the other one's totally blocked. I just think it's interesting, and you can feel it. And last night I did a shift, and my ear started doing that flutter. You know the you're about to get an ear infection flutter?
That's always, the moment that happens is when I'm like, and I have to take a Sudafed. Okay, and because Sudafed. If I don't do that, I will get an ear infection.
I'll typically put some, don't do as I say, not as I do. Talk to your doctor before you do this. I'll put some tea tree oil in my ear and that always works for me pretty
just
well.
Throw it in there.
just throw a little in there. But it just, you know, you can just feel it with every little move I made of my head, my ear would flutter. And it was just super active last night. And I was like, I hate this because I know what it means, but God, this is kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's all very just wet and mobile in there.
That's the thing to me is it's like, I feel like there's almost nothing else in your body that you can just feel happening as much as you can with sinuses.
Yes.
After the absolute searing pain of the sinus headache that I had for the first 2 days of all this. After that went away, I was like, okay, cool. But before that, I wanted to chop my whole sinuses off and throw them away. So throughout history, the cleaning of the sick room has been a big thing. In ancient Egyptian rituals, there would be purification rituals that involved incense, waters, like scented waters, floral waters. There would be prayers of and over the six spaces, the sick individual, and the objects, like all the objects involved, you know, bed and medical tools and shit like that. And they were believed to help ward off the negative influence and promote a quicker healing, which is really, truly what it's about all over all of these historical references. It's always about keeping the bad away and helping the good in. Because, you know, when you're sick, obviously that's what you're trying to do. So indigenous cultures in North America have been using smoke cleansing and sacred herbs and stuff like that to help bring forth positive energy and blessings. There is work within traditional Chinese medicine to help in the same way that uses more energy based, you know, so there's like less burning of things, but there's more like almost like potion creation and like the making of waters and health tonics and stuff like that. European folklore has the burning of herbs, such as usually rosemary was used to cleanse the air stuff like that. Although I feel like the Europeans have kind of a gross history, like with sickness. I think that a lot of other cultures caught on to, like, hey, maybe wash things.
I get what you're saying. Yeah.
You won't get as sick as often. And the Europeans are over here like, I threw my baby in the mud.
Do you want some of my shit? I'll give you some.
Yeah. Would you like to swap shit with me? All right, let's see. So I want to talk a little bit about what you can use in some greater detail. So I have herbs. Certain herbs have been associated with cleansing rituals throughout history and throughout different times and places. And just sort of as a list here, a short list, we have lavender, known for its soothing properties and creation of a peaceful atmosphere. Rosemary is believed to have purifying qualities and to promote clarity, which when you're sick, clarity is something that is hard to come by. And cedar for grounding and protective properties, used to cleanse stagnant space. Okay. If you're more of a crystal fan, we have the amethyst, known for protective qualities and help create a serene environment. A serene environment when you're sick is important. I'm forgetting the word for big important, but my brain's foggy, so give me a break. Black tourmaline to help suck up and transmute that negative energy. And it's also known for protection and grounding. And selenite for its high vibrational qualities and kind of keeping the other crystals that you're using free of getting gunked up with your shit.
Yeah.
Because, you know, selenite will help to cleanse and charge your other crystals.
Selenite fucks.
Selenite. I mean, satin spar. I mean,
yeah,
selenite.
Yeah, both of them.
Fuck.
They both
Dude, fall. I remember when I saw, I think it might have been the first time that I saw true selenite when we went to the gym show with Kimothy.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had like those panes of it.
Yes, those big glassy panes. I think that was the first time I was like, oh, that's selenite.
Yeah, I just wanted to put everything that I eat on top of it for at least a few minutes before I eat it. It's like my charging plate.
After a while, it's just like stained, or you know, like a Tupperware you put spaghetti in. It's like
because it is highly porous. Yeah,
you never get the red out of. Anyway, but that's sort of the basics of cleaning out your sick room. Why you would want to do it, and why you would want to do it more than just a here's some hot soap and water to clean out.
Right.
You know, the germiness of it, because that's obviously super hella important. But if you're there anyway, if you're going to be there with your little broom, your little mop, your little hot water, your little sprays and cloths and all the accoutrement of cleaning, you know, maybe add in a little spiritual cleanse as well. A little brush
hurt.
Up for the soul. Yeah.
You know, and I try to make myself remember on times that I'm just feeling a little bit like I don't have like a whole bunch, you know, in me to do. I just like make myself remember that sometimes I like things of the earth in themselves are powerful and they don't just need me. And so it's like when I burn certain things that I know have a high potency, it's like they can handle this. Like, is it maybe better if I'm over here brushing it around and telling everything to get the fuck out? Yeah, probably. But like, I'm not gonna take away from the power of these natural elements.
Yes.
And think that my ego is truly all that's doing anything here. And I just let myself know this dish can burn over here and it is helping. It is helping. Mm-hmm. It's better than nothing. It's helping. I don't have to be over there micromanaging it. It's doing its thing.
Yeah. That works when you are sick of mind as well, as we've talked about before. Sometimes you don't have what it takes at that moment to kind of really get it up. But I kind of view that. I go down that road with spirit and stuff, you know, and I know that when I'm going to try to focus on cleaning out my sick room here today, because today I think I've said this for about 2 days, but like today, this is the day. This is the day that it's done. But you know, even after it's done, you do like two tasks and you're like, I got to sit down.
Yes. Yes.
But as I begin this process of fully cleaning out the room and cleansing it, I want to make it a nice spot for spirit, because I very much believe, just like that herb is sitting there doing its job and it knows what to do, I think spirit's there with me. I feel like they're like taking my little temperature and putting cold rags on my ass or whatever, but I want to make it nice for them. So that's sure. Kind of where I'm coming from with that.
Hey, I get it.
And you know, just remember, be thankful to your spirits. I feel like they're hearing me say that and they're like, bitch, you haven't changed our water in 5 days.
Yeah, they're all just kind of like giving you the side eye right now, like, okay.
Uh-huh. She's been sick, I guess.
Wow. Well, you did it.
Yeah. We did it. We're alive.
Blew right through that topic. And, you sound great.
Oh, well, thank you.
You're welcome.
I much appreciate it. I'm going to go to sleep now, probably.
Yeah.
Except rest. I'm sitting here looking just at pictures of cobbler longingly.
Yeah, too bad, buddy. I know. Mm. We're going to have to make one. I need to go. Mm. I got to get blueberries, and then we need to make a blueberry cobbler.
Psychic protection cobbler.
Yeah, and be like, sure, blueberry pie. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
But no, blueberry cobbler, actually.
Let's amp this up.
Thank you very much.
Big said.
Yeah.
Really on all parts.
I don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
I do. I can. I knew it was, there was going to be, it was going to happen at one point. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a moment where we're just going to have to be like, this year isn't a physical year.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's a virtual year. It's and a year of spirit.
And we've done a virtual year before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Virtual spirit, is that what you just said?
Yeah, it's good. We're gonna be there in like in spirit, like, you know.
Yeah, there's gonna be like a spirit box.
Yeah,
virtual. Yeah, that's the first thing I thought. Gross.
Okay, this is.
Could you just wire us through so that we could just every time we just talk and everyone we're just everywhere?
All right, I'm sure there's got to be some kind of AI system where we can set you guys up and it can just pretend to be you and it's like a hologram.
Yeah.
Dude, that would be awesome. That would be sick. I would love to watch that. How would it interpret us? Would Macy be even like more Aquarian?
It would have an easy time with me because I'm close enough, you know, to a hologram as it is.
A oddly large dome piece. Like, you would just have this very head. Or maybe, like, tiny head, it's just going to like grow your chin, and you're just going to really long.
It's going to just actually Squidward. Handsome Squidward.
Yes, handsome Squidward. Yeah,
it's going to be a physical chin instead of a beard.
Gross.
Backwards. Gross.
And it just doesn't quite get it. You know, it's just, it does AI. It doesn't quite understand why this is wrong. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It just tries. Mm-hmm.
And then AIU will be Jim's girlfriend or boyfriend.
Okay. Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Right? You can take his chilly fingers and touch your really long chin.
As long as he wants. As long
that's how
as
he
mates.
Wants. Yeah. Yeah. Fingers.
Like I assume it's a good clefted chin too. So he can really like,
he put his whole finger up in there. Yeah.
Get in the cleft.
This is gross.
Yeah.
This is
all of this is to say is because all of this hologram, this also because we are not going to in person be at Anahata's this year. That's how we got here, guys.
We're here now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the 2 weeks of life last month.
Now the people have been promised a hologram and nothing less will do.
No.
Nothing less will do.
No.
I'm going to just task people. I'm going to task all the beans that are coming and be like, you need to make, like, they need to make versions of you and bring it.
Cardboard cutout.
Like, maybe you guys can be like blow up dolls.
Hell yeah,
oh
bro.
My God.
I don't care.
Oh my God. And
there, and then we'll put iPads in front of your faces.
Yeah.
And then you guys can do virtual, but it'll be like blow up dolls.
Yeah.
That's
actually
feel like
we can like do toffee and crystal wrapping one morning and I'll just be a blow up doll there wrapping my own crystal.
Just sitting there.
Yeah. I'm sure that the virtual, like the live, it won't be the only virtual thing. Maybe there's other ways we can just like sneak you guys in there virtually in weird ways. Yeah, we're going to probably set up an iPad for the schedule in the morning. We wanted to do that last year. So maybe we'll just give you access and you can just like hop in randomly. Just like, just scare people when they're trying to read the schedule.
Yeah. Like, ooh, I want to go take this wonderful soul cleansing class. And what are you doing? And just ruin it, you know, immediately.
And like, and we've got like a, 33% chance that they'll even know who we are.
Who we are at best. Yeah.
And it's like not a bean and they're like, what the fuck was that?
Who are you?
Just be like, don't worry about it. You need to be vulnerable and lean in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go take your class.
Samantha.
Heal from this.
Yes. Yeah, you have to heal from this trauma.
We're trying, that's what we're doing. We're making you stronger, really.
Yeah. So you're welcome.
Welcome for this wound you know how to fix.
Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
But no, but I get it. There. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
I got just a hot ass minute.
It was not an easy decision to come to.
Yeah.
And we're not like
we
never going to go
on it
again.
For like a month after we got back from the tour. And it was like we waited until we were both like, yeah, I think we need an off year. Before we were like finally sure. We were like, okay, yes, this is the year we need a break. And it was a very
and our biggest concern. We didn't want anyone to think that there was beef at all.
Yeah, we didn't either. We were like, I hope nobody thinks that we're bad.
I was like, let's just talk about it and then we'll just post this. I need everyone to know that like that's not but what's
just tired.
But the one I mean it's kind of cool that even though you guys are like taking, you know, a year where you won't physically be there. Mm-hmm. But it's like there's gonna be a lot of bean class facilitator representation this year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I've been going through a lot of the interviews. And there's a ton of fucking beans that are going to be facilitators this year. Like, a lot.
That is so cool. That is so
cool. And it's so cool. So, I mean, you know, it's still going to be represented and held the fuck down.
Yeah. Oh, no. We're going to yell
at everyone else's turn. They got to carry the baton this year, you know?
We're going to yell at everybody to still go. Maybe we are not.
Still...
Because
you got to go.
You gotta go.
We might be there in blow up doll form though, just like with an iPad for a head. Yeah,
I really think that needs to happen. I think that's really important.
If blow up doll me doesn't get sent down the river, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like I've got to get sent down the river.
You're doing it again.
You sound like a robot.
I know.
Yeah.
What are you going down the river? Wait, I think wait, I think I just downloaded what you tried to say. I'm going to put you in a blow up doll with the iPad and put you in a canoe so you guys can canoe down the river in your fake bodies. Is that what you were saying?
Gross.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah.
How did you get that? In a million years, I would have never got that.
I just heard going down the river. And it literally downloaded. I'm not cutting anything now. None of this is getting cut. This is all just going to go straight in.
When we recorded. I can't believe you did it. That was some
I'm excited to hear what the voice sounds like. Just did. I've never heard it because I know that my voice gets robot-y, but I've never heard what it sounds like. It's,
earlier, it sounds like she said, let's talk about blueberries. Or let's start talking about blueberries, but it like cut up and it jammed. And all I heard her say, she goes, let's talk boobies. Good accidents.
I'm always down to talk boobies.
That's what I said.
I know. Okay. Like, I know. Let's talk boobies.
Everybody loves boobies.
Yeah. But I will, you guys do have to come back. Oh, I know you guys will.
Oh, for sure. 100.
Yeah. Do you know why? Do you know why you need to come back?
Because we love you and we love everyone there.
That's really sweet. That wasn't what I was going to say, though. I was going to say tradition.
Tradition!
Oh, shit! Tradition! I have had no less than 3 dreams about Fiddler on the Roof since we've been.
Have you had the dream?
I haven't had that dream. That's that would a big be fucking
dream.
Sick.
That's a crazy fucking dream.
No, it's usually just like part of the song, and then I go, "Ha, I know that song," and then that's the whole dream. But it's there.
Yay!
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah. Yay.
I was at a thing at the yoga studio the other day. There was like a Chamber of Commerce thing that happened, and somebody who came to it had like If I Was a Rich Man, but I know it was Fiddler on the Roof because it was like the string kind of like, and I was just like. I looked and I was like, Fiddler on the Roof? Like, but yeah. Like I totally know, like I'm super familiar and haven't seen it just one time. But I was like, wow.
It changes your life. It changes your life. Seeing Fiddler on the Roof.
I did hear Gwen Stefani's Rich Girl the other day on a TikTok and I was just like,
ugh. Yeah. You got angry, right?
Yeah, it's not right.
But yeah.
Yeah, like, once you like see it happening and you like, you see the scene of it.
Oh, and him just being just... so
amazing and epic.
Oh my god. And the sweetie. Yeah, come on. Yeah.
Such a sweetie. No. His voice. It's amazing. And anytime like Ruth and I will like see it, if we see it randomly, we've randomly just sent that image of him just like breaking down.
Just yeah.
Love like, it.
Just stomping like around in the bar.
In the background.
Dust is kicking up. It's badass.
Yeah.
It is. I listened to that soundtrack twice all the way through last Saturday setting up for an event.
Good.
It's good. It keeps me going.
Good. We need good. That.
It's good. Yeah. Oh, you meet meeped again.
Damn it.
No reaction.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Are you guys going to do something really crazy and fun instead?
We've got to trick up our sleeve.
You're going to do a virtual.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I know you obviously.
Sure. We're definitely doing a virtual show. There's some ideas a cooking that will maybe be sown seeds.
I'm sure we'll cook up more season. Tricks between.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's going to be some ideas. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I'm here for it. I think I'm excited for whatever you guys are cooking at. And I think we should do some kind of contest amongst the beans that are coming to the purpose on who can, like, we're gonna have to make fake yous.
Yeah, they could just be just like a cost, like an impersonation night, and they could just there could be
that's great.
Everyone can either my
God. You guys night around the fire. Everyone can become Macy and Charlie.
Yeah,
this is so
like you've never been gone.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
it's like you've never been gone.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see what Corey comes up with.
Oh my god!
I can't wait. And also, I'm also very excited because Charlie, I still have your Beetlejuice shoes.
Oh yeah,
I have a lot of delay, but I've got to coordinate with you to mail back because I forget every day. I left so much shit at your house.
Casey, are you okay?
Translate again.
Siri, let me know if I can help.
What is going on?
What?
I have no idea. Siri just started talking.
All of this is terrifying. All of this.
I love it.
Hey Siri.
Don't do that. It's trying again. Saying, I'm not sure I understand. And Macy's just frozen.
It says I'm back.
Oh, hi. Oh. Hi. Yeah. You are. Yes. Hello.
Your voice is here and alive.
Okay, good. Okay, good.
Which is great.
Wow.
All right.
Okay. We love each other.
I miss you guys.
Yeah. We love each other very
we
much.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very true. And I'm super sad you guys aren't going to be there physically. Yeah. And there's just so much, there's so many things the beans are putting in place. So listen, everybody, if you're coming to the purpose and you're a bean, if you're hearing this, you are a bean. Yeah. We need to make our queen beans proud.
Oh God.
So we'll meet you at the purpose.
And we're going to
dress like Macy and Charlie one night. we should do like a whole booth, and we can just literally have signs that just say like scab toe and bro, and we can just have a whole photo booth. We can dress like it can be like the best of.
Dude, listen, fucking surreal.
I literally just created mayhem.
Yeah, I mean, so truly surreal. Is chaos. Yeah.
Yeah, I just created the purpose, and that's fine. My future self is going to look back at me right now and be like, why did you do that?
Why?
Yeah, why do this? Stop it.
Yeah. I'm letting my future self know right now that like it's gonna be fun.
It's for the lol. That's why you do it. Yeah.
Do it for the gram. Always.
Yeah, for the gram. Yeah.
For the tee hee.
Yeah.
The tee hee.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
I can't wait. I feel like I'm going to get a million fucking text messages from people just being like, I have an idea.
Yeah. I can't wait to see it.
I love it. That's the shit I live for.
We will be there in the ether watching everyone through the leaves of the trees every night.
Yeah, peeking at you.
I'm going to just randomly FaceTime you guys and just be like, okay, look at this.
Show us the grounds, you know, show us around.
Take us on a walk.
Yeah.
Let us into people's tents and we can look through their shit.
Oh my God, that'd be scary.
Yeah.
Okay, I really need to come up with some ideas because I feel like we could make this really fucking funny. Like, really funny. Like, why don't you write me a bunch of notes and mail it to me? Like, random ass fucking handwritten notes. Oh, and I'm just gonna like disperse them around different like areas.
Be your truest
like Tyra
self.
Mail, but like yes. At Anahata's purpose. God.
Ew, yes.
Tyrant.
I need handwritten letters. And listen, and you guys are fucking influencers because I bought the goddamn Billie Eilish perfume. So you guys can't.
Good though, right? It's good. You like it?
It is good. It is good. And I didn't even smell it before I bought it. And that's very not a Sephora, girl of me. But that's the thing. Right, I need a bunch of random little notes. Random fucking notes. Random thing. It doesn't even have to make sense. Maybe write some from Jim. You know,
okay.
Why don't you put a couple, like some, I don't know, like a little pebble from the fishy tank in one. Your chickens. I'm going to just send me that. I'm going to spray it with Billie Eilish.
I think we're pretty much good. I mean, unless we need to end on this thing. We didn't actually end it.
No.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we need to end it. I think. We just needed people to know that,
like,
just you guys are taking a physical break from the purpose
because
y'all
a small one,
hiatus. But I swear to God, if you guys aren't back the next year, I'm going to come down there.
Then there will be beef.
Yeah.
Well, I love you guys.
I love you too.
I love you too. Thank you for not being mad at us and hating.
I'm not mad at you. I mean, as long as you guys are still doing virtual. If you guys were like, we're not coming and we're not doing virtual, I'd be like,
Yeah, we were worried that you wouldn't.
Yeah, what if we were just like,
we can do a live show? Like, I hope we can do a virtual show. So that worked out.
Yeah.
It was literally my response. It's like, as long as it's virtual, it's fine.
Yeah. When I saw that, I was like, all right, no. Sweet. Yeah, we're good. Awesome. Yeah, no, I'm super down. I love the live show. And yeah, it'll be nice. It'll be nice.
Maybe we can do virtual meetings beforehand for whoever does the best.
Yeah.
Whoever dresses like you guys best.
We could meet our proxies.
Oh my God, that's so weird. I am so interested to see, maybe I'm just a narcissist, but I'm so interested to see how people would do that. You know what I mean? Like, what
are the things about us that get exaggerated and caricatured?
That stick out.
That's what I want to know. Yeah.
Somebody doesn't buy some big ass fucking hobbit feet shoes and put a bunch of scabs on it. I'm going to be pissed as shit.
It's an opportunity.
Yeah. Gross.
It is.
I need yoga pants, a sports bra, and big ass fucking hot feet.
Scabby feet. Yeah.
There'll be lots of sports bras as far as the eye can see.
Lots of sports bras. Yeah. And yoga pants. That's an easy,
And cold oatmeal, bowls of cold oatmeal.
Yeah. Yes. But I also, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't really know. I don't know what. How would I mean, I'll probably, I guess at some point wear your Beetlejuice shoes, but.
See, I feel like for Charlie, if you want to be Charlie in caricature for me, because it's, I feel like I would almost dress like Laser.
I think it's hard to you know, dress up like a Leo sometimes. You don't know what the fuck you're going to get. And if anyone wants to dress up like me, just wear a fucking like combat Top Gear.
Yeah.
Outfit. That'd be sick. Light I'll suit. Do that. Me, okay. That's the thing. Oh, people will dress up like me and Macy, and we'll dress up like you. Yes.
Yeah.
You guys need to dress up like me. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I got plans.
Deal.
All right.
Deal. That works. I'm going to need them letters in a month.
All right. I'll do it. I'll do it.
All right, guys.
All right. I love you guys.
Love you more.
Meep.